Our scripture reading today will be Isaiah 2, 1 through 5, the Old Testament, page 594. I'll be reading from my confirmation Bible, if I can see the words here. The word which Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem: it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall decide for many peoples, and they shall beat the swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord.
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 24, verses 36 through 44. And this is an odd reading for Advent, as we are waiting for a newborn baby to come by the end of the month, because it is speaking of the rapture to come, the second coming of Christ. So as we wait in Advent to prepare for what is coming next, whether it is a new baby or the second coming, let us listen to the words of God with ears wide open. Jesus is speaking. No one knows the day and the hour, not the angels of heaven, nor the only begotten, only Abba, God. The coming of the promised one will be just like Noah's time. In the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and having relationships and getting married, right up to the day that Noah entered the ark. They were totally unconcerned until the flood came and destroyed them. So it will be with the coming of the promised one. Two people will be out in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two people will be grinding meal, and one will be taken, and one will be left. Therefore, be vigilant, for you don't know the day that your Savior is coming. Be sure of this: the owner of the house had known when the thief was coming. Had they known when the thief was coming, the owner would have kept a watchful eye and not allowed the house to be broken into. You must be prepared in the same way. The promised one is coming at the time that you least expect. May we be blessed by the reading, hearing, and pondering of God's holy word. So this week, in the joyful noise, before I left on vacation, I sent a piece to Paige to put in the church family update, not the joyful noise, but the church family update, affectionately known as the blast. I put in a piece written by Henry Nouwen, was a Dutch-born person. He was a Catholic priest, a professor, a writer, a theologian. His interests were primarily in psychology, spirituality, deeply, deeply rooted in social justice and community. He was born in 1932 and died in 1996. I absolutely love his book, The Wounded Healer. It speaks of looking at where we are in community and how broken we are individually, that collectively we need to help each other. It's a good read if you ever get there. So what I had posted in the church family update was not the entire quote, so I will give you the full part of that now. Written by Henri Nouwen on hope. Optimism and hope are radically different attitudes. Optimism is the expectation that things, the weather, human relationships, the economy, the political situation, and so on, will get better. Hope is the trust that God will fulfill God's promise to us in a way that leads to true freedom. The optimist seeks out concrete changes for the future. The person of hope lives in that moment with the knowledge and trust that all of life is in good hands. All the great spiritual leaders in history were people of hope. Mr. Nouwen writes, Abraham, Moses, Ruth, Mary, Jesus, and then Rumi, Gandhi, and even Dorothy Day. They all lived with the promise in their hearts that guided them towards the future without the need to know exactly what that future would look like. He finishes that quote with, "Let us live with hope." Now to this past week, I have spent a lot of time in my car, probably more time in my car than I really, really wanted to, but I had lots of people to see and lots of places to go, and that means lots of hours in my car. And in all of that time, Adam and I had lots of conversations about this week's message of hope. We talked about the difference in hoping and wishing. And I shared parts and pieces of what the hopes I had in a younger life, in a younger me. You know, I had hoped that I got that great gift from Santa, that I would be able to go and get ice cream with my grandparents without my siblings trekking along with me. I had hoped that I would get my license on the first try. Didn't happen, but I hoped. That I had gotten the right prom date. That didn't happen either, but I hoped. I hoped. From my young perspective, these were true and real hopes. And I'm speaking for myself, but I think that several of us might be able to associate with some of that, right? But from my adult perspective, they were definitely wishes, not hopes. As I've grown into being an older person, my hopes have changed. I've had hopes that my friend would leave her abusive husband before it was too late for her to leave him. I hoped that my siblings would get into college. Those are things that are outside of my control, no matter how much I tried to buy books and things for my siblings to go to school. Whether they went or not was up to them, but boy, did I hold on to that hope that my friend would finally leave her abusive husband. This past week, I'll get right down to the bottom of this here, is I held what I felt was true hope. I hoped, and we've been praying for Talia and Ben, my niece and her husband, I hoped that I would be able to see Talia, my little T, and just give her a hug. That's all I needed to do was to see her and give her a hug. That was my hope. We found out that she was gonna, not only was she coming home on Monday for the night, she comes home on Monday, she has a class and leaves Tuesday morning to go back to the hospital, but we found out mid-morning on Monday that Ben and Talia were both coming home, but they were bringing Jasper with them. He was big enough and healed enough that Jasper could come home. We waited patiently for him to come home. I didn't see him that day. I hoped for good travels for them and that life would be fine when they went back to their home with the three other siblings and the chaos that ensues with a small farm as well. And then I hoped that they would come to dinner on Thursday at my parents' house. And they did, all four kids in tow. And then my biggest hope was that I would get to be able to hold that baby. Because there's all kinds of new parameters around holding newborn babies now that not everybody is allowed to touch the baby. You can look, but you can't touch. I got to hold him. So I really feel like my hopes were fulfilled. I got to hold this little itty-bitty thing and all the rules. But anyways, I'll tell you about that later. Coming home on Friday, we left Augusta, Maine at 8:00 in the morning to get on the road for what should have been a 9-hour trip from Augusta, Maine to Buffalo, New York. It turned into a 12-hour day. And I had really big hopes. Hopes that my car would stay on the road for the lake effect snow that was between Utica and Rochester. We got to Syracuse and the weather was so bad. We were doing, I don't know, 25, 30 miles an hour. I got behind a snowplow and a box trailer and I said, I'm staying right here. We're just good. But I also hoped that other people would stay in their lane. I hoped that people would be able to get home safely. I hoped that I would be able to put my head on a pillow before 9 o'clock at night. Took us a little over an hour and a half to go 22 miles. It was hard driving. But if we got off the road in Syracuse, would there be a hotel room? I didn't even hope that far. We figured we had plenty of blankets and clothes in the car we could just bundle up in the parking lot. But in all of those conversations about hope, we kept digging down deeper and deeper, parsing out the differences between hope and trust and wishes and wants. When are we being super optimistic, wishing to get what will make us happy, or being truly trusting in God and being hopeful in that trust that God takes care of us no matter where we are? According to Father Nouwen, optimism is the expectation of future events going my way, your way, our way. Hope is trusting that in this very moment, no matter what it looks like for us individually, that we are held in a larger context of good and love, that we are held in the moment by hope, that we are held by God at this very moment. I will fully admit that sometimes that's really hard to do, is to trust in that hope. So today is the first day of Advent, the first day of the Christian calendar, and we begin not with certainty, but with longing, with the hope candle, hoping and trusting and longing for what is to come. Not with the fullness of Christmas joy, but with Isaiah's words, the quiet, courageous hope that God is still shaping us towards peace. Next week. We just got to get to next week for peace. We find Isaiah this morning standing amid political turmoil. There is fear and war. He's daring to cast a vision of what God intends for us. The days to come, Isaiah says, the days to come. A fragile phrase spoken in pure confidence. Little history for Isaiah is that this is just the second chapter. Some people say that it was actually the first chapter until some editors got in there and gave us a prequel, if you will. So this is where we start with Isaiah. He is standing in extremely violent times. The borders around Jerusalem are being threatened. The leaders are extremely unsettled. The people are anxious. It is not a season when anyone would naturally feel hopeful. And into this very harsh landscape, Isaiah offers a picture that feels almost too bold. He says that mountains will be lifted high. Cool thing about mountains, in the biblical times, mountains is where you speak to God. The higher you go in elevation, the closer you get to God. That's why Moses keeps climbing up the mountains. But mountains are never singular. I was trying to find a mountain that actually stands all by itself, and unless it's out on an island, and the next three islands actually have mountains as well, mountains are in a chain. They work together. They are together all the time. But we've got mountains being held high, that nations are streaming to the light. Nations are seeking God. People are hungry for God's wisdom, and weapons are reshaped into tools for planting, building, and feeding. That we change those weapons into something more beneficial. Isaiah is not describing the world as it is. He's describing the world as God dreams it to be, Advent hope begins there. It refuses to let the present moment be the incomplete story. My white knuckle driving was not the complete story. It was just a few hours of my day. The story this morning insists that God is still writing. Isaiah's vision does not end with a beautiful picture, though. It ends with a call. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Let us prepare the way. Let us move into what God is dreaming for us. Don't just admire the vision. We better walk towards it. Hope in Scripture is never simply an emotion. It is directional. It shapes how we live, how they lived then and how we live today. If God dreams of peace, then we are called to practice that peace. God dreams of reconciliation, then we seek reconciliation. Forgiveness, it's a hard word, but that's where we seek. If God dreams of justice, then we can make choices that align with justice. If God dreams of community, then we are called to nurture that community. Know this, and know this deeply, that Advent hope is not naive optimism, right? It's a commitment to live today as if God's tomorrow is already breaking in. One of the most radical lines in all of that scripture this morning, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Isaiah does not say God will magically remove all of those weapons of war. He says that the people will transform them, that you and I will transform them. This Advent hope, this Advent work that we are called to do, taking what is meant for harm, for what is division and fear, and forging it into something that nourishes life. And you don't have to think of physical instruments of war, but taking harsh words and turning them into bridges. Taking resentment and forging that into forgiveness. Taking the busyness, and I know, I'll speak for myself, busyness is a true thing, right? But to take that busyness and turn it into presence, to be in the here and now and not worry about what tomorrow will bring. Taking isolation and transforming it into community. Taking fear and letting it become compassion. Advent hope says that God is not done with us yet, that we can be reshaped. And the awesome thing that Isaiah is saying, one of Isaiah's many calls, is that he doesn't call for one person to walk to the light. He calls for all the people to walk to the light. And Advent is not meant to be navigated alone. In this early darkness winter, we light candles. And I think you've all learned over 8 years how much I love candles and how one flame can be seen from such a distance. But when we start gathering those flames, when we start taking small flames, and that little candle off to the side is actually a leftover out of the big candles that we use. When they get too small, they come to my office and I burn them down. So that's a candle that has already seen our hopes and our wishes and our optimism and our trust. Our hope and trust in this room. And when we start gathering all of the small lights together, the church becomes a community of light bearers, holding hope out for one another when it's too hard for us to hold on to hope all by ourselves. One shared life becomes its own witness to God's dream. And then where people can breathe and find belonging and discover courage and imagine peace. This morning's reading from Isaiah points forward. It points to a day when God's presence draws all people to towards God's wisdom and peace. For us today, this vision comes in the form of Jesus. This season, now, it comes in the small newborn baby, the one who embodies God's dream in human form, a small, fragile human being that brings hope into the world of darkness. Advent hope reminds us that the world's brokenness does not have the final word. God's love does. Isaiah invites us not just to believe in hope, but to walk in it. The days to come are already dawning, Isaiah says. The light is on the way. Hope is not wishing. Hope is not wanting, no matter what my hopes were when I was pre-tween. Hope is a choice. Hope is trusting that the divine, the mysterious presence, is good and it is love, and that it saturates all of creation, all of the time. Hope invites us to recognize that reality, that suffering and struggle do not have the last word. Hope invites us to trust that we are being held in love and grace even when we feel lost and pain. Hope whispers to us that we will find a way through everything. And when we live in hope, we see snippets of undeniable beauty and strength that sustains us. Hope allows us to experience the full spectrum of human existence without despair. So as I continue to contemplate hope, putting the words of trust behind it, I now have hope that my grandchildren and my grandnieces and nephews will grow up strong and confident in a world that accepts them however they are on any given day. I have hope and trust that my beloveds will find peace in and with their mental health and the struggles that they carry with that. And I hope and I trust that someday swords will be turned into plowshares and spears will be made into pruning hooks, that the instruments of war will be turned into instruments of feeding and nurturing and nourishing. I hope for a world. I was trying not to be emotional and it's gone. I hope for a world where God's love is known by everyone. Let us go and be those light bearers into that hope. Amen.